I'm going to read from the book of Matthew chapter 7. You want to go ahead and be turning. Matthew chapter 7. Verse 1, Matthew chapter 7. Judge not that you be not judged. With what judgment ye shall judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shall thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. We're going to cease reading with these verses. These are very familiar verses. It's sad to say that most of the time when we hear these verses used, they are misrepresented. They are used in a way that the Bible does not intend for us to use them. God didn't intend for us to. And yet, a lot of times people make say, well, you can't judge me. Don't judge me. And, of course, it says here, judge not that you be not judged. Now, judging others is not the thought I want to deal with, so don't get nervous tonight. But since we're here, I want to at least address it just a minute before we move on. The church, well, Mike, the church has been given great authority to make judgments. Now, when we talk about individual judgments, when I look out in the world and I see somebody not acting like I think they ought to, for me to pass judgment upon them is wrong. And God said, I'll judge you with the same measure you judge them. You know, when God looked upon me as a lost person, He looked upon me with mercy. And we are to look upon the world with mercy. Those that have not been taught, we are to look upon them with mercy and not with judgment. But the church has judgment. Notice He's saying brother. He's talking about our church brethren here. The church has the right. In fact, the church could not be the organization that God intended unless we make some judgments. You know, you think about church discipline. God to discipline. And you couldn't do that without making judgments. In fact, we turn to several other places and we can find where the God told the church to judge. He talked about some going to law, brother against brother, going up the law. And he said, is there not somebody in the church spiritual enough to handle that matter? Get them together. Call a conference at the church and let the church make some judgments that are righteous judgments according to the Word of God. And let that rule in your heart. He even goes so far, Brother Joy said, the church is going to judge angels. Now, I don't know that I could get off into that and know very much about it, but somewhere the church is going to be given the seat of judgment and she's going to be able to judge angels. As to what we're judging them for, I really don't know. I don't understand all of that, but at least God's going to give the church that authority to do and make some judgment. So we are to judge ourselves. Now, I want to make that clear. You need to judge you. I need to judge me. Lord said we need to judge ourselves that we be not judged. We think about the Lord's Supper. We come together. You know the Bible says that you need to judge yourself before you come. You need to judge yourself because you do not want to partake of the Lord's Supper unworthily. So I've got to look at myself, take some inventory, make some judgments. And that doesn't mean, you know, that I'm sinless or, you know, as far as we look at the word worthy, there'll never be a day when I am worthy of the blood of Christ. That was mercy. That was grace that He bestowed upon us. So in a sense, we could never be worthy. But He's saying, make sure that there's no hindrance in your relationship with the Lord. Make that judgment. And if there's something that shouldn't be there, before you come in and partake of the Lord's Supper, you need to get that fixed between you and God. You need to get it cleared up. There needs to be some repentance there. Some confession needs to be made, and so we are to judge ourselves. Now, individual judgments, that's something we should not do. If I do judge someone, then God said, you can rest assured you're going to be judged the same way. And, you know, sometimes we make harsh judgments upon others, don't we?
Well,
we haven't walked a mile in their shoes. We don't know exactly what they're going through or anything else. And so many times those judgments are not accurate. Judgment, when it's made, Brother Alton, is to be laid to the line. God said, I lay judgment to the line and to the plummet. I lay those judgments. And so those are instruments of precision. I lay down judgment righteously, and that's the way that we are to do as well. So notice the thought then went from judging someone to helping someone. Now, he says here that you need to make sure that you are okay so that you can then turn and help someone. So, it's the responsibility of the saved to help others. That's why we're here. Well, Jay, we're here. God, I know I've said this many times, and most everybody, you've heard me say this before, but for us to be saved, to go on to be with God in glory, would be the best thing that can happen to us. But God said, I'm going to leave you here so that you can be a light in the world, so that they can see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. And so, it's our responsibility to try to help others. Help them do what? Oh, just do good deeds? Well, that may be part of it, but what we're trying to do is to help others see God. God left Christians here so that we could help others see God, so we could help others see the truth. There is a truth. There is error. There is lies. So God left us here so we could show that, but to, you know, so that they could see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. So, and yet he goes on, and only when we remove the beam from our own eye can we help with the mote that is in our brother's eye. So, let's put that in perspective, layman's terms, something we can understand. It is foolish for me to try to help you with some sawdust in your eye if I've got a 2x4 in mine. It just makes sense. Can't really do anything. So, but by what I'm doing and the things that maybe in my life's not near as bad as what I see in others. I'm going to tell you something. Probably one of the most humanistic traits we have is being able to see the flaws in others and not see the flaws in ourselves. It's so much easier to look at this world and see what everybody else should be doing. It's so much easier for one generation to blame another generation. It's so much easier to look and say, boy, I tell you what, if we would have just elected the right people, if our president would just do what's right, if our government would just do what's right, if Mississippi would just do what's right, if these church members over here would just do what's right. One of the hardest things for us to do is look at ourselves and say, you know what, I'm not where I need to be. So I want to encourage, I'm not trying to discourage or say anybody here, you've got a beam in your eye. But I do want to encourage us that we see that we have to first look at ourselves before we can go and help somebody else. You know, we first have to be able to see clearly. We have to be able to remove that 2x4 from our eye. And I don't know who came up with this phrase, but I tell you, it was popular around my house when I was little. We need to first sweep around our own door before we sweep around somebody else. I know you've heard that too. That's about as southern as it gets. But it's the truth. We need to make sure that we are in a position that we can help someone. What happens whenever we have stuff piled up on our doorsteps and we go try to help somebody else? Whenever we've got sin in our life, whenever we are not where we need to be with the Lord, but we try to help somebody else. Well, they look at us and they say, as Jesus said, thou hypocrite. That's an ugly word. We don't like that word. Oh, don't call me a hypocrite. What if the Bible calls you a hypocrite? What are we going to do with that? You got to do something with it. So best thing we can do is let's fix it. Let's get that beam out of our eye. So now that does not mean that does not eliminate us from helping others. God didn't say you don't have the ability to help somebody else. You don't have the ability to go and help your brother.
He didn't say you just make sure you stay on your own porch and let them stay on theirs. He said fix yours first and then go help them. And this, tonight, that's what I want to encourage us to do, that we will be able to help others efficiently. We have to first look at ourselves. You remember Peter, well, he's a good man. I tell you what, Peter preaches good too. He's a good man. And as far as all of the apostles that we see in Scripture, it seems that Peter was kind of at the top of the list. If he wasn't number one on the Lord's list, he was at least two or three. Maybe John was ahead, maybe. But you look at him and he did so much good. He was called to preach. Right off the bat, the Lord called him out, be fisher of men. So he's a saved man, he's a church member, and then he was called to be a preacher. Apostle will be a more accurate term. And he is the only other man besides Jesus, to our knowledge, ever walked on water. He at least stood on water. And so he did some great things. But there come a time, whenever Jesus was about to be crucified, that he called Peter and he said, Peter, when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. Just chill on that just a minute. A good man. Christian man. Church man. Apostle. And the Lord said, Peter, in your present condition, you can't help nobody. But when you get converted, then you'll be able to strengthen the brethren. You'll be able to be a blessing to others, but right now you can't. Now remember what Peter's argument was. Look, Lord, though the whole world forsake you, I won't. Jesus said, before the night's over, you're going to deny me three times. No, I'm not mean. You know that's where a lot of us are. A lot of us, we don't see ourselves the way we need to. Peter didn't see himself the way he needed to. Jesus was telling him, this is what's wrong in your life, Peter. You've got to get converted. You've got to stop wanting your own will. You've got to surrender to my will. And yet he didn't see that. And so he did. I mentioned this morning, they took Jesus off to the high priest's house and Peter followed afar off. Be honest, if we did inventory, that might be where some of us might find ourselves. We following the Lord, but we further off than we thought we were. He's over here and he's warming by the coals. Somebody says, you were with him? No, that wasn't me. I wasn't with him. Still, ask him again. He denies again. Ask again. The third time, he curses. No way I can be with the Lord because see my dirty mouth, I cuss and I curse. And so, but whenever he did that, he looked up. About that time, Jesus, and this morning we tried to preach about him being crucified. He was being beaten and whipped and everything else. And he was being blasphemed and Jesus looked up at Peter. Peter looked up at Jesus. That is so significant. I wish I could preach that the way I see it. Because for the first time, Peter looked at Jesus and he saw what Jesus saw. He saw himself in the Lord's eyes. And all of a sudden, his judgment on himself was different than it was. Whenever we see ourselves through Christ, through His Word, we see ourselves different than we just do when we make an average judgment. And so, the Lord had a word. Peter, I need you to encourage others, but you cannot until you fix Peter. You going to deny me? Oh, but when you get out here past all that, you'll be able to help me. So the Bible said he went out and wept bitterly. Did that do any good? It may have, but it was kind of short-lived. Because it's not long after that we read that Peter, I believe he had to fall a little bit further. He had to wallow in self-pity a little bit. Because he goes and he says, I go a-fishing. And his disciples said, we go with you. Now, I know it's not written in Scripture. This is what Brad O'Neill believes.
You take it as that. I believe when Peter said, I go fishing, there was more there than just he wanted to go wet a hook. I believe he was saying, I quit. And I believe those other disciples saying, we do too. It's just too hard, too much. Because it's only when Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? And he asked him that three times to get through. But I tell you what, if you ever want to see how close you are to the Lord, consider how much you love him. And be serious and real when you ask yourself that question. Do you really love him? He said, if you love me, keep my commandments, didn't he? If you love me, feed my sheep. If you love me, do my will, not your will. So if we really want to get close to the Lord, we need to answer that accurately. Do I really love him? Okay, so he is converted. And the next time we read about Peter, he is a totally different man. Well, he seems like a completely different man. He didn't get saved there, though, Brother Alton. He's already saved. He wasn't called to preach. He's already called to preach. But there's something changed. He was converted. Something needed to be fixed in his life before he could help others. Really, before he could be efficient in helping others. Now, whenever he preached, thousands of people were saved. I know it's Pentecost and there's a lot of things happen, but he's preaching like he's never preached before. People are getting saved. I want to encourage you, dear child of God, tonight, judge yourself and do that through the eyes of Christ, through His, let me be more accurate, through the Word of God. Judge yourself and be converted when the Lord shows you what needs to change. You'd be surprised. If you are true with the Lord, you really and truly want Him to show you, He will show you what needs to be fixed. Okay, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 24. The Apostle Paul writing here, he says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the masteries is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. Incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul is saying, I keep my eyes clean so that I can be used, so that I can help someone with the sawdust in their eye. I make sure I get that beam out of mine. I make sure that I keep myself in line. I make sure that I keep my body under subjection so that whenever I do try to help someone, they do not see something in the way. Because when there's something in the way, you can rest assured the old devil is going to be able to magnify it and make it a hindrance. And you'll end up being more of a hindrance than you will a help to them. All right, I thought about something Paul said, and Brother Joe, I've never been able to say this as long as I live. It amazes me. In Philippians 3:17, Paul said there, brethren, be ye followers together of me, and mark them which walk so, as you have us for an ensample. Paul said, follow me, because I'm following Christ. You can look to me for an ensample or an example, because I'm going to be following Christ. There's times whenever I feel like maybe I'm there, and there's other times where I realize, you know what? I'm way off the mark. If somebody's following me, they might be in trouble. Let me ask you this, what kind of church would my church be if all of its members were just like me? You ask yourself that question. Would it be better or worse? We're to be Christ-like. The word Christian is used it has been watered down so much, it really don't have much impact whatsoever. And whenever it does, more often than not, it has a negative impact. Because everybody under the sun is a Christian. It don't matter how they live. It don't matter what they do, what they believe, where they go to church. It don't matter if they believe the Bible or don't believe the Bible. We all just Christians. But the thing is, Christians means Christ-like. That's what that word means, Christ-like. And whenever I look at Christ, he was a certain type of man. There's things he would do and things he would not do. Christ-like. Are we living Christ-like, or would you say there's hindrances in my life? I couldn't be a blessing to someone. All right, you know, there's sometimes, there's bitter water and sweet coming from the same fountain. Bible says it ought not be that way. Things coming out of our mouth one way and then things coming out of our mouth another way. One minute we're trying to help someone. If you don't believe that's a problem, all you got to do is look at Facebook. You say, and I'm not saying anybody from the church here, but I tell you, there's a lot of people say they're Christians. And one minute they're cursing and the next minute they're praising the Lord. One minute they're saying ugly things and the other time, you know, they're talking about godly things. Shouldn't be that way. You know, Peter and John, I thought about them. One minute, we read about Peter and the Lord saying you need to be converted. Then we find them on the other side in the book of Acts and we find that they have been. And then they're walking up together to the temple to pray. And there's a man there, he's sitting there begging alms. And they call out to him and he looks at them as though he's going to receive something from them. And Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I do have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ. Rise and walk. Different man, wasn't he? Than he was. Peter, at one point, I believe got depressed. But now, he's looking to the Lord. There's nothing in his way, and he's being a blessing to those around him. You know, tonight, we just ask you this. I need your prayers. Sometimes, no doubt, I have a 2x4 in my way. And so you can pray for me that I wouldn't have something in my way, because whenever I reach out and help someone, I want to be a blessing. I don't want to be a hindrance to them. Oh, that should be our prayer, each and every one of us. God gave us a good church, Brother Mike. Clear Branch is a wonderful place. It's a wonderful group of people. And He's given us a great mission. Just like He told the church there in Jerusalem and the church there at Antioch, we are to go to the world and preach the gospel. We're going to be a blessing to everybody we come in contact with as the Lord leads. As He opens up the door, we are to be a blessing to them. And we don't need to hesitate. We need to be willing to do what He's asked. So you pray for me that I wouldn't be a hindrance in any way, that I could be a stepping stone for someone. That's for something.